And God bless you this morning. Isn't it great to be in church? Great to worship God. Wonderful to just be with one another in fellowship. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm glad to be here too. And this morning I want to share, you know, some of the best sermons I've ever preached have been to myself. Well, here's another one. One of the hardest lessons I've had to learn in life is that sometimes God speaks to me on the journey. There's two kinds of people, I think. People that enjoy the process, the journey, and then people that like the beginning and the end. And I'm the beginning and the end guy. And so when we go on a trip, I don't like to stop for bathroom breaks. I don't like to stop for lunches. I like to get to where we're going. Okay? My lovely wife, she loves to just enjoy the journey, you know. And so over the years, we've had to make a compromise. And I've enjoyed the journey and learning that there are lessons to be learned along the way. And that's what I'd like to share with you this morning. Lord, I just take... I'm so happy to be here today, Lord. I'm happy to be able to share your word, share what you've laid on my heart about the process, about the journey, and the lessons that we can learn there. And I thank you for this time now. Open up our hearts to receive what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Oswald Chambers said, "We are more than conquerors through him in all things, not in spite of them, but in the midst of them." Okay, let me say that again. Oswald Chambers, a pretty wise man, said that we are more than conquerors through him in all things, not in spite of them, but in the midst of them. When there seems to be no way to success, no way to the finish line, when God seems deaf, we probably have been given an opportunity to learn a lesson along the way. That has been my experience. His purpose for you during the journey may be what he calls success, and we call distractions, we call interruptions, we call, oh my God, things. In all of our focus, if all of our focus is on the plan or the end of the journey and the assignment, not the process, we may miss out on a whole lot that God has for us. The Lord may be trying to teach us about patience. He may be trying to teach us about peace. He may be trying to teach us about forgiveness. He may be trying to teach us about flexibility, compassion, unconditional love, love for someone that's most difficult. And an awful lot of that happens on the journey. In the process. In Mark chapter 4 and chapter 5, I'm going to paraphrase and just make it a story, and then we'll get into the teaching. In chapter 4 and 5, Jesus has a couple of boat rides. Pastor Ryan talked about one 2 weeks ago, and I'm going to refer to that and also another one. In chapter 4, Jesus tells his disciples, while they were still on land and not in the boat, he says that they have been given the secret of the kingdom of God in chapter 4, verse 11. His followers, his disciples, have been given the secret of the kingdom of God. And then he says that the other people, the world, they're not going to get that secret, and I'm going to speak in parables. Pay attention. Because while I'm speaking, the secret to the kingdom of God is going to be revealed to you. What's the secret? What's the mystery? Well, it's the good news. It's the new covenant. It's grace. It's mercy. It's forgiveness. It's the shedding of blood. It's redemption. It's justification. He's going to reveal all of that to his followers if they pay attention. On the journey. So that night they got into a boat and they went across. Jesus is sleeping in the back. They get all worked up because there's a lot of water coming into the boat. And they wake Jesus up, and then Jesus rebukes them and says, What happened to your faith? And he calms the sea, and they're amazed. They get to the other side. They run into a demoniac who lives in the cemetery. There's a deliverance. A whole bunch of pigs get filled with demons. They run off the cliff. People are amazed. The disciples are amazed. The demoniac wants to be part of the ministry. Jesus says, no, go share what you've just received. And he does, and they go back across the Sea of Galilee, and they begin to minister again. And now they see a woman that is healed, a girl raised from the dead, and 5,000 people are filled, 5,000 men, probably 10,000 people, are fed with 5 small loaves of bread and 2 fish. Shortly after that, they get into a boat again. Same night, same day, or shortly. They get into a boat and they're on their, they're going to go to Bethsaida in this boat. And Jesus says, I'll meet you later. I'm going to pray. The Sea of Galilee is known for high winds, particularly because on the east side, there's a very high slope, kind of like Washington Island up in the northern part of Wisconsin on the northwest corner. If you've ever been in a sailboat around that corner, when the winds come off that high cliff, it can knock the boat to the side real quick. Well, the winds in Sea of Galilee are that way, and the disciples are having a hard time rowing because the wind is really bad. Sometime between 3 and 6 in the morning, they spot Jesus walking on the water, and they again become very, very fearful. They're alarmed. They're scared. So Jesus gets into the boat, and he calms the sea, and it says they were astounded. But this time it adds something unique. It says they didn't understand the loaves and the fishes, and their heart was hard. Okay? So Jesus gets into the boat, calms the sea, they're astounded. And the scriptures say that their heart was hard. And therefore, and their heart was hard because they did not understand the loaves and the fishes. Well, that caught my attention. Should catch yours, too. It seems like out of place. I mean, this is about a boat. It's about calming the seas. It's about taking authority over nature. But it was about the disciples, the followers, who had hard hearts. They weren't getting it. On the journey, they weren't getting anything because their heart was hard. They witnessed great ministry. They witnessed deliverance. But the journey revealed their heart. They witnessed Jesus walking on waters. They witnessed the miracle of the loaves and the fishes, which was like manna in the desert. Only God could do that. Only God could do manna. They witnessed power over nature, over demons, all on the journey. But their hearts were hard. They missed an important lesson at the moment. And the lesson was that Jesus is God. Okay? They missed the most important lesson, that Jesus is God. Let's go back to the hard part. The disciples said, what are we going to do with all these people? It's late. He said, feed them. They said, with what? He said, what do you have? Well, they searched and they said, well, we have 5 small loaves and 2 small fish. He said, well, feed them. How is that going to work? He prayed, he thanked God, he blessed it, he handed them the loaves and the fishes, and it multiplied in their hands. He didn't sit back and multiply it. He multiplied it, but he did. There wasn't enough fish and loaves in the basket. As he handed it to them, it multiplied. As they distributed it, it multiplied, it says. And then they had leftovers, filled baskets full. He was revealing the kingdom of God to them. Like manna in the wilderness, those loaves were multiplying. Now Jesus walks past them. They're astounded. He gets in the boat. He stops the wind. And they still don't get it. It says their hearts were hardened. They didn't understand the miracle that they had just witnessed. The miracles they had just witnessed. They didn't understand that he was God. They didn't understand that he's the Messiah. They didn't believe that he was deity. They were focusing on getting from point A to point B. They were focusing on getting the job done. And we do the same. Often. From time to time, we focus on the circumstances. We focus on the issues. We focus on getting the job done, and we miss what God is trying to teach us right in the middle of the event. We think success is over here, and God has been planning success right here in the middle, or somewhere on a journey in the process. Are you with me? Ouch. I can't tell you how many times I've been on a missions trip. And the lesson was right in front of me, not at the end. So what's the point? How does this look today in our life? Right here in Elevation, Green Bay, Wisconsin. We profess Jesus as Lord and Savior. But is he really Lord? We all like the Savior part. But is he really Lord? Master? We move from point A to point B in different events in our life. Christian, non-Christian, in life. Work, school, wherever. And when we get there, we think we're successful. God will be pleased, but we miss the lesson right in the middle or on the journey. At times we work really, really hard for God in ministry or whatever, but without God. We do it on our own strength and power. Without his guidance. We read the Bible through in 1 year, and I am a Bible person. I love the Word of God. And I read the Bible through in 1 year. I got the job done. I didn't learn a thing. Because every morning I'd wake up and I'd say, oh boy, I got to read here history, and then I got to read a psalm, and then I got to read a New Testament thing. And I did it. Because I'm German. But I walked away at the end of the year saying, what did I learn? I learned how to read the Bible through in 1 year because I was focused on the end, not the journey. And a lot of us do the same thing. We feel guilty every morning. You know, we have to read the Bible, so we read the Bible. Then we run off to work. There's a guy named Fenelon who wrote a book called Let Go in 1656. He said, sometimes we should fast from reading the Bible. Because it becomes a routine. It becomes our God. Hey, I don't know, go there. Sometimes we get a prophetic word. And we get a vision or we have a dream. Instead of focusing on that one, praying it in, thinking about it, asking God, what does that move mean? We move right on waiting for the next one. We go from ministry to ministry to do our thing and sometimes miss the heart of God. We go on a missions trip. I know a guy who's been on 7 missions trips. He's got 7 notches on his belt. He still doesn't know why he went on the first one. I do, because I talked to him after the first missions trip, and I said, young man, you should be doing this because you're gifted in this area. He just goes wherever he can with whoever will take him. He missed what God was trying to teach him on the very first trip. The journey will be different for each of us, okay? Some will be for building relationships with others, maybe building a better relationship with Jesus. It may be about building our faith or the faith of others. The journey may be about encouraging somebody or encouraging yourself. It may be about discovering that you're worthy. The journey may be about discovering that you are a masterpiece. Ephesians 2:10 in the New Living Testament says that we are masterpieces. It may be about building confidence in myself or somebody else along the way. It's not always about us. It may be about personal growth or growth for somebody else. It may be about discovering peace, patience, perseverance. And that only can come in reality from Him. It's not always about the finish line. It's not always about success at the end. It might be about success in the middle. Pay attention to the process. How do you do that? Well, listen to the Lord. Before, during, and even after sometimes. The journey. Because He speaks to us through impressions. He speaks to us through teachings from the pulpit. He speaks to us through worship. He speaks to us in our quiet time. He speaks to us in prophetic words from reliable prophets and people with prophetic gifting. Unstop our ears. Open up our heart. How do we do it? Hear His voice. Try to hear His voice among the clatter. We're all really busy. And sometimes we don't take the time to just hear God's voice. Sometimes we have to get up earlier than normal to just be alone with God rather than trying to pick up on Him on the car on the way to work. And I'm not being critical of that either, because any time with God is good. But boy, if you really want to hear God's voice, spend some special time with Him where the noise and the clatter isn't going to distract you. I guess sometimes we get so carried away with when it's over that we don't hear Him in the middle. That's my point. And when you do hear Him, obey quickly. Don't waste any time. Move in that direction. Don't take giant steps, take baby steps, but move in that direction to where you think God is calling you. And sometimes the moving out will be difficult because sometimes we're in a comfort zone. And sometimes the people closest to us will give us the most resistance to what we think we're hearing God for. Expect those trials. Expect testing. Expect resistance. But if you think you've heard God, move in that direction. He'll open doors, He'll close doors. He'll open doors, He'll close doors. And look for opportunities along the way to serve. And then arrive at the finish line with lessons in your pocket. Today's Mission Sunday here. We're going to receive a missions offering when I'm done. So I want to talk a little bit about missions. Because sometimes it creates one of the greatest pictures I know about hearing from God on the journey. The first thing we hear when we talk about a missions trip is that how much is it going to cost? That's not your business if you're called. It's God's business. If God said to you, you're supposed to go on a missions trip with Pastor Dennis to Myanmar, to the orphanage, and you know that that was God, and you start moving in that direction, He will provide everything you need. We have been taking people overseas since 1985. Nobody has ever not gotten the money they were supposed to get that were called to go on a missions trip. Some of it in really strange ways. One guy's house blew off. I mean, his roof blew off his house. And then he reshingled it himself and he had enough money left over for the missions trip. It's crazy, but if God calls you to do something, He'll provide it. And sometimes it's not about just going on the missions trip and ministering to orphans. Let's just use that as an example. It might be about the guy next to you on the airplane. It might be about the taxi cab driver. It might be about the person in the restaurant in Myanmar. It may not be about the orphans. It may be about you trusting God. And some will go, and some will not go. They'll stay back and they'll pray. Some will send. Not everybody has to go on a missions trip when God impresses that on their heart. So you need to ask, am I supposed to go? Am I supposed to send? Am I supposed to pray? How do you want me to be involved in this missions deal, God? And He'll show you. He always does. Listen real carefully. Then ask God, what's my involvement? And then consider all the options and pray about it. We're going to do a big give on May 2nd here at the church. We need all of your help. That's a missions trip to our community. Ask God how you can help. We're going to do a backyard kids outreach this summer. We're going to ask some of you to offer up your backyard and invite all the kids in your neighborhood. And we're going to come there and we're going to have a party for Jesus. We're going to do a kids camp in Israel again. We're going to do an orphanage trip the end of October through the first week of November. And then a trip to Nepal for the street kids. And then we're going to do the blanket thing again. At least those are the plans right now. Keep this in mind. If it sounds bigger than you, it's probably God. If it sounds like you could never do that, but you feel this tug on your heart, it's probably God. Just say, do what you want with me, God. I'll move forward one step at a time. Just use me however you want. And He'll show you. I want to show you two pictures. Let's, Josh, show the picture of Paul. Well, wait, no, let's not show that. Don't show that now. Goodbye. I want to tell you a story instead. Last year when we were doing the blanket thing, I stood up here and showed pictures of the kids with blankets. And then during the tween services, I went out to the front. I was standing by the little Christmas tree with the envelopes. And a big burly guy walked up to me, and you may be here right now, big burly guy, but I don't know you. And he was dressed really warm. He came to church, and he was on his way to the Packer game. Dressed really warm. And he walked up to me, and he reached in his pocket. He pulled out his wallet. He said, I was on my way to the Packer game. my heart really got touched in there about the blankets for the kids on the street. And he opened up his wallet, and he took out a wad of $20 bills. He said, I was going to buy Packer tickets with this. I want to give it to the kids for blankets. And the guy bought 30, 40 blankets. And then went home and watched the game. See what happened to him on the journey? Now, I want to show you a picture of a young lady. It's a pastor's kid. The one doing the hugging. I preached in her pastor's, her parents' church. It's in Virginia. They love the Lord with all their heart. She's the youngest of a bunch of pastor's kids. She got fed up with it, moved to a kind of a nasty city on the East Coast, got involved in a group of people who were involved in drugs, and she's a fabulous artist. Several of her friends died from drug overdose. Her heart was broken. She had walked away from the Lord. She called me one day. She said, Dennis, will you take me on a missions trip? I said, absolutely. So we're going to Myanmar to the orphanage. She said, I want to go. I said, what are you going to do? She said, well, I'm an artist. I can teach the kids how to paint, draw, everything else. I said, that'd be perfect. Here's the letter she wrote me after the missions trip. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I'll read parts of it. A little over 4 weeks ago, my nerves took over and I started to panic. What if this isn't what I'm supposed to do? What if my plane crashes? What if I get lost in Tokyo? I still packed my bags till they were bulging with art supplies and candy, kissed my parents goodbye, and took off for Myanmar. As long as a flight, and as worried as I was during it, I knew there was a reason that God opened up this path. I met Dennis and other early arrivals at the group at Gate 32 in Tokyo, and I was immediately put at ease. Though fearful of being the one reject of this spiritual group, I knew at once that these Christians were not stereotypical. The love I experienced during this trip stemmed from the godliness of the people around me, within and separate from the team. From day one, the acceptance I received began to turn my heart and opened my ears to the long, quieted voice of the Lord. On day one, I met a woman named Christine who spoke into my life more than anyone ever has. She suggested directions that the Lord might be leading me, and I had not considered before. She also helped me focus my mind on the things of the Lord and not the pain of the heartache or the heartache in my life. With this new perspective, I started the trip with an openness I have not exhibited in years. This was in Tokyo. I'll go on. There is no such thing as a personal space in this orphanage. There's 200 plus kids, I realize. Personal space is a westernized concept, not there. All these kids want is to be loved, to be held, to have a hand of somebody. She's now at the orphanage. One of my children, whose name was Toa, one of my children, they adopt you, you don't adopt them. If you go to the orphanage, you'll know what I mean. Like 10 or 12 kids, they adopt you the minute you arrive, and they're with you the rest of the week. A girl named Toa took to me like a fly to honey. Her sweet laughter and smile were intoxicating. And at the end of the first day, I was thinking of her as my own. She's so joyful and full of life, simply a pleasure. Every day she would come and find me, and every day I would look forward to seeing her. The little girl got very, very sick. And sometime during the middle of the week, she didn't show up. So this young lady went to find her and found her in her little dormitory room. Each time I wiped away a tear, another would run down her cheek. It dawned on me, this was the way I was raised. With a mother who was there to wipe away my tears, to touch me when I was sick, to cuddle with me even when I was faking it. Twa doesn't have that. Instead, she laid alone in her bed. At the end of the week, the kids gather around us individually. We're one in every place, and then 10 or 20 kids will gather around you and pray for you. Now we're at that point in her letter. I've had a hard time getting past the deaths I've experienced recently. I tend to feel heaviness in my chest from the heartache of losing so many. At the end of the time spent with the children, Dennis called for them to gather around and pray for our group. This little boy named Min reached out his hand. He worked right through the crowd. He reached out his hand and he reached out in search of me as he closed his eyes prematurely. Then that little hand landed on my heart, and it brought a rush of peace to me I've never felt. It melted the heaviness I have experienced for so long. And by the time the prayer was over, I no longer saw their faces, ones who had died. Every agonizing memory was replaced with the memory of that tiny hand on my heart. I've been crushed by the love of God. There are so many children and so many life-altering moments I experienced on this adventure that I cannot put them down in a letter. All I can really say is, thank you. It didn't happen at the end of the trip. She went there with all these expectations to help the orphans. And God spoke to her heart, repaired it, changed it, fixed it. And she's doing really, really well today. That picture of her is phenomenal if you knew her life story. And it happened on the journey. So I'd just like to encourage you, don't always think of the finish line. Don't always think of getting out of here at 12 o'clock, getting to the Packer game. Don't always think about, I can punch out at 5 o'clock and get home. Don't always think about, when I retire, everything will be better. When I get a raise, I'll start tithing. When I get money, I'll go on a missions trip. When I get married, everything will be fine. That's my favorite line. Not mine. I do premarriage counseling. I hear it all the time. Truth is, young men get married to have a bigger truck, bigger bow and arrow, bigger gun, two incomes. When I get married, I'll have guilt-free sex. Forget it, man. Start right now. You're on the journey. Enjoy the journey and ask God what He wants to show you on the journey. Amen. Praise the Lord. Lord, I just thank you for this time today. We're going to receive a missions offering. Now, we have a couple different projects. One is the Big Give, but we're opening a Bible school. I know of a Bible school being opened in the Andaman Islands. Remember the guy that was here on a Wednesday night from the Andaman Islands last fall? He's opening up a Bible school in the Andaman Islands, the only one in the Andaman Islands, so that he can reach and plant churches in every inhabited island. He was at the southernmost tip of the Andaman Islands last year. 120 or 30 or 40 people received the Lord. And then he found out there was no church there. So when he and I talked, I said, well, okay, well, let's plant some churches. He said, well, we've got to have a Bible school. I said, well, let's open a Bible school. So we're working on that. And maybe some of this offering will go to help him a little bit with that, but also with the big gifts. So, Lord, I just pray that you'd open up our hearts, unstop our ears, and not only that we would enjoy the journey, but, Lord, if you want us to give for something today in missions for this church so that we can engage outside of the walls of this church and do it really effectively, I pray that you'd lay it on each of our hearts on what to give today. We thank you for the opportunity you've given us here, Lord, to serve in missions. We thank you for the opportunity to give. We thank you for the opportunity to pray for missions. And we thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to share the word of God today. And we all walk away enthused and happy. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to our weekly message. Be sure to visit ElevationChurchWisconsin.com for other exciting new content from Elevation Church.